Hi, I'm Tyra G, your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal listeners. Yes, you. Fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. Every week, we meet at the table for an hour to experience, educate, encourage, and empower each other through our joys and our lessons learned. We share topics that tradition tells us, now there's some things you just don't talk about. But here we live beyond both the judgment and the wreckage. We share aha moments and stories that have been left in our pockets for too long. Every week, we start right where we are. Now, although many of your voices will speak light into darkness, there is no insignificant person around this table. There's a rule, though. You must come dressed in your inner awesome, believing that impossible is merely a word. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device, and we are webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No worries should you miss us. You can find us where you listen to your podcasts. And for those of you who love to send me these very special thoughts, email me at tyra@tyragarlington.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Courtney Nero, for composing and performing our Frankly Speaking theme song and for naming it I'm Listening. Over the past 3 years, storytelling on Frankly Speaking with Tyra G has been intentionally thematic across generations, cultures, and genre. During the pandemic, however, things have felt a little different. I've been spending physical time alone and emotional time in the sitting room of my soul. I've grieved the loss of power over my movements, my expectations, my finances, my future, my everything. I have even wondered if I would ever retrieve my peace. I've felt physical, mental, and emotional uncertainty and unrest. It seems like everything that can be shaken is shaking. Where noise, angry noise, seems to be drowning out laughter and love. I've had to intentionally focus on the truth that is what is happening to me is separate and distinct from who I am. I've had to hold tight to the power of a thought because I know that thoughts can link to new possibilities just as they can limit outcomes. However, I've been emotionally exhausted, even a little depressed. I no longer felt at peace in this place God had put me. When I connect with my dear friends who are fighting physical challenges, I feel like my presence and my encouragement is not enough. My worthiness mirror is all fogged up. I've been feeling stuck between my no longer, you know, those habits that helped me survive and thrive until now, and a not yet that seems to be begging me to do more, be more. But how? With whom? When? Where? Why can't I finish that second book? Why can't I find the right graphic artist for my children's project? What if the pandemic forces the radio station to close again? I looked at my physical surroundings thinking, So this is what moving from 2 acres to 2 big rooms looks like. My apartment is too small to create a soundproofed space to broadcast from home. And I love my show. Maybe I need to move. Do you see what I was doing there? I was slipping down a rabbit hole that was devoid of self-compassion. Every one of you that listens has heard me say what happens to you is not who you are. You've heard me say there's a spirit within you that is greater than what is going on around you. Well, someone, not yet a friend, said to me, "Tyra, maybe you need to listen to your own inspirational speeches." Slap, a reality spanking coming up. My moments of madness has resulted in a series of stories I'm calling moments of mindfulness. Frankly Speaking with Tyra G now is intentionally focusing on thoughts and behaviors that will positively impact. You know what? I believe we can discover healing, harmony, vulnerability, and authenticity that will help us rise above all that ugly negative noise. Our moments of mindfulness stories are meant to motivate and move us to a path to personal transformation and collaborative solutions, building a healthier, more inclusive nation. Moments of mindfulness. Yes. We're celebrating servant leaders, game-changing entrepreneurs, innovative organizations, and ourselves. All who plant seeds that yield amazing harvest. All who bring light into darkness. All who choose service as a method of healing, both self and the nation. Together, we're going to write new chapters in a book of hope. And today, we're going to create a common thought space by echoing some of the thoughts by best-selling author and acclaimed life coach, Iyana Van Sant, in her book published in 2000, called Until Today, and I quote, "I am willing to acknowledge it is safer for me to honor my feelings. It is standard operating procedure among human beings to act as if everything is all right all the time, no matter how sick, sad, upset, frightened, or confused we may be. If someone asks, 'How are you?' the standard response is, 'Oh, I'm fine.' Nothing destroys self-worth, self-acceptance, and self-love faster than denying what you feel. We humans need to realize whatever we feel is just fine, and that we are just fine, no matter what we feel. Without feelings, you would not know where you are in your life, nor would you know what areas you need to work on. When something doesn't feel right, you're motivated to change. Feelings keep you alive. They invigorate and educate. Feelings are like hound dogs. They sniff out what you're hunting down. That means your feelings are motivational and inspirational. When you deny what you feel, you're not grounded. You let your guard down, sometimes to your own detriment. It's true that your feelings can deceive you. You can feel good in a bad situation. You can feel bad in a good situation. This is what happens when you stifle your feelings. You cannot tell one from the other. Feelings are sensors. When you learn to keep the channels clear with full expression of your feelings, your emotional essence develops and matures. It's also true that you do not want to be a slave to your feelings. Feelings that go up and down like a roller coaster are the result of physical or chemical imbalances in the body. The key to the development of a healthy emotional essence is to acknowledge what you feel. Until today, you may not have been honoring your feelings. You may have been afraid, unclear or unsure as to what to do about what you feel. But just for today, be devoted to honoring your feelings. Allow yourself to feel them. Admit to yourself what you feel. If you really want to give yourself an opportunity to grow and heal, admit exactly what you're feeling to one other living person. Today, I'm devoted to honoring what I feel until I feel better. I'm going to repeat that. Today, you say, today, I am devoted to honoring what I feel until I feel better. My guest today showed up in my life during my trip down the rabbit hole. Even though I believe my calling in life is to connect with, engage, inspire, celebrate others wherever they are in their journey, even though I speak worthiness, even though I speak hope, when she and I met, it wasn't most of the time. It wasn't how I was most of the time. It all happened this way. At dinner with friends one evening, I mentioned I was wondering whether I should move. But behind those words were the thoughts that at my age, I was at the end of the toilet paper roll, where life seems to go faster and I seem to move slower. I was living in a singular life with no children that came through my womb and renting an expensive apartment in a lovely neighborhood. How long could I keep this up? Having owned 6 homes, one I still remember as my dream home, and moving 12 times across the country, what should my Act 3 home, my forever home, look and be like? Could I even, sustain my current lifestyle? Friends started to make suggestions. I heard words like, well, Tyra, you know, what you do personally and professionally now is all about your passion. Maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do that. What about buying into a 60-plus community? That way you'd have ready-made friends. Hey, I know a great real estate broker. I listened because they loved me and because I had to renew my lease soon. Well, enter Suzanne Hanger. Realtor, broker, entrepreneur, and amazing subject matter life coach, extraordinaire. Her life has taught her, now listen to this, that if where you lay your head at night is in your soul's home, you will find peace. Let me say that again. Her life has taught her that if where you lay your head at night is in your soul's home, you will find peace. But think about this. In the midst of a pandemic, out of necessity, home morphed into an office, a classroom, a gym, church, barbershop, hair salon, courtroom, and competing priorities at war. For many, it raised questions about how effective and efficient and peaceful their living space really was. I'm told that the pandemic also did the same thing with some relationships inside those homes. But long before the pandemic, my guests had arrived at a holistic approach to real estate that she used marketing. She used to use words like your soul, let your soul be your home finder, and so much more. Spoiler alert, you know that confusion I was talking about? I went through this whole wonderful experience with Suzanne. And guess what? I'm peacefully and joyfully living where I was when I met her. And what follows is the story of why. You know, I've never been able to keep secret blessings to myself. So welcome, Suzanne, to the virtual, frankly speaking, table of phenomenal listeners.
Thank you so much, Tyra. Thank you for having me on your show, and I'm just so honored to be counted among all of your amazing guests. And boy, what an introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, what I always like to tell people, Suzanne, is when they meet you, say on the show or for tea for the first time or whatever, they see you at one point in your story, right? But they don't understand what you bring to that table as a journey with decisions and lessons learned and heroes and sheroes. So I want you to take the position of the book in my human library and help us know, look in your life, we're going to examine your life, look into your life story and tell us how you got to the chapter we're reading today.
Okay, I would love to. First of all, I grew up feeling both grateful and worried at the same time. Grateful that I had loving parents who were passionate about their work as teachers. I was also grateful to live in an historic house that was admired by the community. And grateful that my parents gave us space in the house to develop their own interests. Develop our own interests. But I was worried, though, about the world around me, because on the news I saw war and violence and poverty, and I worried about the victims. And I was confused as a child. Why would people hurt each other or let others suffer? I found myself preoccupied about what could be done about it. And then when I was around 11, I saw something that defined my destiny. On the way to my grandparents one day, we drove down a historic homes like ours, but they were falling apart. And I felt sad because I could see the beauty in the houses behind the disrepair. But what I realized, what worried me the most, was how difficult I imagined it was for the people that were living in those houses. So that day on that trip, I told myself not to forget about this when I became an adult. And I vowed to devote my life to understanding people and how their environments affect them. So in college, I studied psychology, and one of the books that we were assigned had a huge impact on me and formed the foundation of my work. It was Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I read that, yes.
Okay, so you know.
Yes.
For those who haven't read it, Frankl was a psychiatrist imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps. And in Man's Search for Meaning, he wrote about his experience living in unimaginably horrible conditions. And what he found would increase the chances that prisoners would survive. He noticed that prisoners who had meaning in their lives were more determined to live, focusing their thoughts on getting back to their children or returning to a project became a spiritual journey for them that helped them get through the horrors. I was so struck by the impact of purpose, especially in a life or death situation. Yeah, and after I pondered that for a while, I came to believe that if everyone knew and lived their soul's purpose, we'd have peace and harmony throughout the world. So my work combines that belief with my gratitude for home. And it's my purpose to help as many people as possible hear their soul's purpose and have homes that enable them to live it fully.
I'm a very visual person, so I'm imagining your home when you were a child. I see large, and I see space. Now, you had siblings, it sounds like.
Yes.
And each of you had space to make your own. Is that what you were saying?
Yep. Everybody had some space to make their own.
What did yours look like?
Oh, my goodness. You could not see the wall anywhere or the ceiling. Posters everywhere and rainbows and whatever project I was working on. It just was packed with everything that I loved, which was to constantly have some kind of a project going on.
Now, did you bring that forward to your adult life? Are your walls at your home covered with artifacts?
Actually, not so much.
Interesting.
Now I like more open spaces. But in that phase, I like to have lots of things all over the place.
Comfort. Yeah.
Yes.
So what I'm also hearing you say, that age 11 was a trigger that you carried forth into your future, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I need to tell you all that I, unbeknownst to me before our encounter, Suzanne and I have a common friend. I'm very close to her. Suzanne's very close to her, but Suzanne and I have never met. And this particular friend, whose name is Gail, talked to me about, she said, oh, Tyra, you've got to meet her, da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, you know, I'm thinking that I need to talk to a realtor, one of the realtors at my church. She said, listen, it's not about the house. You just need to talk to her. And so I said, well, tell me about her. And she did, Suzanne, and I want you to share that you didn't go directly from Viktor Frankl's book to your work now. You made some stops in between, as I understand it.
Yes. Yes. I did. You know, every few years, it seems, I do something different to pick up the pieces of what I think I'll need along the way.
Okay.
And I started out in child welfare, which is how I met Gail, mm-hmm. working with children in foster care. And I went on to get a master's in public administration because I wanted to change the system to really help kids in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I felt like I kind of knew what was going on with that, understood public policy and how that impacted people and children in particular, then I started on the home part of it and went back to school and learned about construction and renovated a couple of houses.
That's what I want you to park on right there. You went to construction. You know, like I'm listening to this voice, and I've had an experience with this woman, and nothing that I saw, because we Zoomed, nothing that I saw would make me visualize her in a construction environment. So you got to help me with that one. I'm serious.
Well, I have to tell you, it was tons of fun.
Okay.
The only woman.
Yeah, now that would make it ton. That could be attractive. So what happened?
That was tons of fun. And I love understanding how things work, how homes work, or even big construction sites, and just watching things come together.
You didn't go high, right?
I didn't typically go very high.
Oh, no. Good.
I watched other people go high.
Well, okay.
But I did wear a hard hat.
Okay. All right. I got the hard hat part. I can see you doing that. All right. So I can see you surrounded by testosterone. So did you actually get involved in building something as a member of a team?
So as professionally, I was a project manager.
Okay.
So I helped put all the pieces together. But I grew up, because we grew up in this 200-year-old house.
Wow.
We always needed something. So I was basically my father's helper. I would help him do whatever the latest, you know, project was. Oh, something always needed to be changed in our house.
Yeah, 200.
And I was right there with him.
200. And I thought I was old. 200.
Okay. That's right. See, you got a lot more toilet paper left on that
roll. Oh, let me ask you this, because now, see, my imagination is wandering. Hardwood floors, crown molding, large fireplaces, big kitchen. Do you have a potbelly stove anywhere in the house?
We did have a stove, but actually we added that in because there really weren't pot belly stoves then. It was just like a fireplace.
Okay.
So we did add that in, and the wood floors were like more like planks, and they were different sizes. You know, one might be like 4 inches wide, another might be 12 inches wide. It just depends on how they cut the tree down that day.
Okay, all
We're
right.
talking 200 years ago. There weren't like power tools.
You know, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Because I happened to be scrubbing my laminate floors, and I was looking at it a little angry that they were, easily scarred, etc. And I said, wish I had some hardwood, and you had planks. Okay, I'll stop
Right,
that.
we had planks with cracks in between, and yeah,
Okay.
it was great. It was great.
So we have a construction project manager. We have someone that cares about children. We have some and their welfare. And you worked at the county, correct?
Right, I worked for Fairfax County government for 11 years.
Fairfax County, Virginia, right. And one of the things that I also worked there, we didn't know each other at that time,
Right.
but one of the things in administration that's interesting is you learn about problem solving, issue management at a very high level, things, question you would never ask on your way. And I want us to get from construction. I see the caring, I see the need to take care of. I see the building. Take me to the soul. What was the journey to the soul?
Right, to the soul. Well, so the next piece after the construction was that I knew I was interested in helping people buy and sell houses.
Okay.
So I just, started out as a typical realtor helping people buy and sell houses. But at some point, I thought to myself, this is kind of strange because somebody can come to me and give me their list of criteria. I can show them 10 or more homes, all meeting that list of criteria, and they may not like any of them, right? So I thought, well, maybe there's something more to this. Maybe it's not just the criteria that people tell me that they want. Maybe there's something else that's unspoken. And
Okay.
a friend of mine has a house in the mountains. I said, hey, can I go there for a weekend? And I just sat there and meditated and wrote and just wanted to wrap my head around what I could do that was different. And the word soul's home actually popped into my head. It was a word that one of my philosophy professors had used for my undergraduate degree when I told her that I was interested in moving to Virginia, because I grew up in New York. I love Virginia. I don't know why. We went there on vacation one summer, and I just feel like that's my home. And she said, oh, it's your soul's home. And I thought, oh, this lady is nuts.
And wait, and Suzanne, the interesting thing is, there are going to be people listening to us and think, you know what? They are off on a limb. I'm going to go watch football. I got that. That's okay.
I know. I think I'm nuts sometimes too. So.
But the thing about it is, what I believe has happened during the pandemic is we've been forced to stop, to slow down, to
Yes.
reflect, to look for balance. And I have heard a lot of people who no longer are fighting traffic to get to the office, who are going crazy with their children, but who are having dinner with them for the first time.
Right.
And and so I've heard a lot of people say, this is horrible. And yet, and so what I was excited about us having a conversation is, like you said, a natural realtor will say, okay, where do you want to live? How many bedrooms? Do you like modern, or what architecture are you involved with, and how much are you willing to spend? And we'll go through, we'll get the financial, and it's all about external requirements, if you will.
And correct.
What fascinated me in talking to you was the bridge that you're telling me that you started to make, and I guess you did that in the mountains at your friend's house?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to us about what happened to you there. What made you think, aha, this is what I can do differently. This is what I can add to my conversation. This is what I can say to somebody that will make them want to stay or go, but stay and go through a process. What happened then?
Well, you know, when that word popped into my head, soul's home, mm-hmm. when I was at the mountains, I didn't really necessarily know how it was all going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew there was something there to explore about this concept of soul's home. Mm-hmm. So what I did after that was I just interviewed people. I interviewed people who told me that they loved their homes, and I interviewed people who said that they couldn't stand their homes. Hmm. To try and find out, you know, what are, I call them the soul's home ingredients. You know, what are the ingredients that you need to have in order to have a home that feeds your soul? And what is it all about? I just didn't really know at the time. I needed to do some more exploring.
Were people resistant when you went deep and asking them that, or were these all friends that were going to support you regardless?
Well, so some of them were friends, and even friends said, you know, you need to be careful with this because you're going really deep and you're opening Pandora's box, and that might not be a good thing. So, and I thought, oh gosh, you know, they're right. Like, I don't want to open Pandora's box and then leave somebody hurting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that wasn't the point of it at all. The point was to be able to open Pandora's box and find out, you know, what you wanted to let out and what you wanted to keep and be able to close it back up again.
Yeah.
Right. And so then, so it took a few years really to be able to develop that practice and to be confident in it.
Now, Gail told me before you had your survey, your tool, your automated tool finalized, you sat with a family. I don't know if she was a part of this discussion or whether she was reporting it, that had the two little boys.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Share that.
Yes, she was there. So I invited a bunch of friends to my house to do like a workshop
mm-hmm.
before I launched it and to get feedback from them. And, oh, I have such wonderful friends. Yes, Gail showed up and a bunch of other friends from Fairfax County and other jobs I had along the way
mm-hmm.
came, and they listened and did the exercises with me. And yeah, and it was shocked, the two young boys that came, the parents made them listen to the presentation as a punishment.
Oh my goodness.
At home.
I love it.
And I was amazing how much they got out of it, and they still, I think to this day, have been the people who've been living in their soul's home the most. Like, really felt like they were living, they were doing what they're called to do, and living in the greatest home.
So the contrast,
that tells me they had great parents.
Yeah, but what Gail had pointed out, now maybe I heard it wrong, so you're going to have to help me with this. What she was saying was, after the parents went through the experience, they were thinking they needed to move, and it was the boys that gave them a different kind of feedback. Am I hearing that wrong? Did I hear that right?
I don't remember it that way, but it could be.
Because she was saying they had said they liked where they were because of the school and the friends they had and all of that.
Right.
Which,
yes, and they loved their rooms.
Yes.
Yes.
And that kind of gets to what we're talking about, because with my goddaughter and her daughter, we did house hunting, and she's been in this home 2.5 years now. And we looked at townhouses, we looked at homes, we looked in Virginia, we looked in Maryland. I'm proud to say that she is currently the global counsel for the Moving Association, and she's doing very well. Mm. But I was just out there, and her daughter is 12, so we're redesigning her room. She's a young lady now. And I did an interior design interview with her. And I did it since I went through this experience with you, right?
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
So oh. I did this, you know, because her room, although she's all over the house, you know, the house right. is hers and it's huge. But her room, she was getting all new furniture. So I had to ask her, I said, well, tell me, you know, why don't you use that closet? Well, I can't really get there. And well, what colors make you feel good? What would you rather have? Have your taste change? You know, when you were 9, you liked this. What do you like now? And she's a Lego fanatic and builds fantastic things. So we made her a girl cave downstairs and put everything on display. But what was interesting, I said, so tell me this. Why do you find it easier to put your things on the floor than in the closet or in drawers? And she said, you know, I can't find things when I put them in the drawer. I can see them on the floor. And I said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. What could we do to make that easier for you? So we're talking about behavior, but we're also talking about mindset. And when I was there recently, her new bed was delivered. And she said, I want it here. And we said, why? You know, I can see out. I can hear the birds, you know. So what I'm saying is, if we really take the step beyond what we normally think about in terms of acquiring a new possession like a home, and get to, well, you know, what did you like about it the way it was? What do you think you'll like about what it is? Okay, well, when you have company, how do you feel like, you know, and it went on and on, because a 12-year-old, but her mother tried to interrupt, and I informed her, I'm sorry, I'm the interior designer for your daughter. And she, you know, she had to be quiet a lot and talk to me afterwards like that. And I said, hey, it's her room, you know. But so long story short, you didn't just sit down and write out a survey. You thought about it. You tested it. You listened to people. What did you learn about putting this tool together? What was the most important thing you learned about the survey that you ask people to take when they engage in your coaching sessions?
I think the most important thing, now that many people have done it, is that everyone is so different.
Yeah.
There's some kind of like running themes, but you know, one of the reasons, the main reason that I did the survey is because I found that without it, I was spending a lot of time talking to people and asking them questions about things that weren't really relevant to them.
Gotcha.
And so the survey, when people take the survey, and I don't, you wouldn't pick this up when you did it. Like when you're asked a question, depending on your answer, that tells the tool, the next questions to give you.
I wonder.
So if something is not an issue for you, you only get a couple, you know, a few questions on that. But then if something comes up and it's an issue for you, then you get more questions, maybe some exercises and some meditations to try and help you get the spiritual purpose of it. And it helps really inform our sessions together, so that we are focusing on the most important pieces that your soul really wants you to pay attention to at that point in your life.
So we have said two things. We've said sessions with you, and we've said the tool. We need to tell people, you need to tell people what this whole thing's about, okay? What your client will do first, what will happen second, and then I would like to, because I brought mine with me. Yeah, I did. I want to talk about some of the things that I found intriguing, okay? So talk about, like, I'm a new person, Suzanne. I've been referred to you. Hey, Suzanne, my name is Tyra G. I know Gail told you I was thinking about moving, but I'm not really sure. I kind of like where I live. I can work out. I can walk. I have trees. I know dogs in the neighborhood, that kind of thing. What would you say to me?
We have an initial sort of meet and greet conversation where you tell me these basic things, but the fact that you're talking to me tells me there's more.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So let's dig deeper into this. And the way that we do that is to start with this tool that's online. I call it the Soul's Home DIY, because you're doing that part yourself on online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a series of questions and videos and meditations and exercises that take you through from your childhood homes to where you are now. And we're looking for places your soul wants you to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for patterns in your life and your homes that maybe need to be healed through this process.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for what's your spiritual purpose in life, your soul's purpose, and what's the spiritual purpose of your home. And if you need to move, what is the spiritual purpose of that move, and how can the move best serve you?
And then once I take this, what happens?
Yeah, so then once you take it, I really spend a lot of time reading it and meditating over it and praying and asking for guidance on how to lead the conversation. And then we do I used to meet with people in their homes. now we do it on Zoom.
Yes.
And based on your answers, it tells me, okay, so let's take this a step further. Let's talk about this some more.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the answers that you've given on the survey make me ask you more questions and more questions until you get that aha moment. Okay, now I see the purpose of this, meaning the purpose of your home or the purpose of the opportunity that you've been given and maybe some issue that you see with your home. And we take it from there in terms of what is your soul calling you to do about your home? Is it calling you to stay? Is it calling you to go? Is it calling you to stay and make some changes or to accept the way that it is?
And what this is, I hadn't thought about this, Suzanne, until we actually are talking now, and I'm listening and I'm looking at my tool. And I had never thought about this. My home is a metaphor for where I am spiritually and soulfully.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So now many people may be turned off by this approach because they say, oh, that's, you know, religious folks or, you know, da, da, da. No. What this is an opportunity for you to look in a mirror and have self-talk, but the thing that you have to commit to is authenticity. And the tool itself builds, you know, it gets to, you know, how old are you, sex, all of that. No, not sex, but what sex are you? Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Do you rent your home? Do you have more than one home? What's your highest education level, marital status? And this, I imagine, would allow a lot of composite data that you can use to change and improve.
Yeah.
But this is, what life changes are you responding to or planning for? How many people are upsizing or downsizing or first homes or divorce or, you know, old like me? How much longer do you plan to live in your current home? Now, that's just data gathering. But what I loved is your journey so far, because the tool takes you from your childhood home, okay?
Yes.
And all the way through college. I mean, specifically the kinds of homes you lived in. And I imagine we're looking for a trend analysis.
Yes.
Okay. And this one I liked. Please describe anything else about your past that impacts your journey to your soul's home. And I decided just to be totally honest and talked about my divorce and my critical illnesses I had survived, et cetera, et cetera. And what that had done to me, all of that had done to me financially. And but here was the thing, and I'm just reading this because I feel like I owe it to myself to test my faith and my ability to ask for and receive one more blessed home. And what's ironic to me, by just suspending all criticism and just jumping into this as best I could, I revealed some things to myself. And
yeah.
When I got the evaluation back, it got to be funny because the tool goes through the algorithms and you get results, right? So if you think of a graph, horizontal, vertical axis, left to right, all the way up to the top, obviously moves you to closest to your soul home, and then there's a line growing up. Now here I am thinking about, oh Lord, you know, can I afford to continue to live like, oh, I'm by myself and da 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 da. And we laughed. I am so close to my perfect home. It's amazing. And I looked at it, because when I start taking the survey, I got sad about leaving where I am at some level. And I was like, oh man, I got a place I live that's a triangle. I have 10 windows. I've got trees. I wanted, you know, quiet and wonderful. And I've got these little dogs when I'm walking every morning. They go, oh, there's Miss Tyra. She's going to hug me. You know, that kind of thing going on. And the one thing I didn't have, which my friends probably said a senior living facility was, having a community right there. But
yeah.
I have my church community, I have my Rotary community, I have the radio station, and then I have friends. So that was fulfilled. And
right.
The thing that happened between Suzanne and Tyra, you know, I can't explain. I cannot explain. But what happened as a result of this in our conversation, our Zoom call, was magical, and I got to some scar tissue, and I was honest enough, and I trusted Suzanne enough to walk through that door. And that's when I said my home was a metaphor, because I was covering up or hiding or denying. And Suzanne asked me a very interesting question. Now, we're talking about houses, right? She says, so Tyra, why are you so resistant to monetizing the gifts that God gave you? And I was like, wow, where did that come from? And like, really? And it's because of the way the tool is and the way Suzanne's coaching is that comes together. And if you give it permission, you can answer questions that you were afraid to ask yourself. And it was an emotional intersection for me. And quite frankly, after that conversation, that whole experience, I have felt free. I have felt I'm fine. I went and signed myself a lease, another lease. And I talked to my friends. I said, I'm going to stay. They said, good. We were hoping you would, because one, you're close to us, and two, you're happy. And I'm thinking,
right.
Well, why are they telling me I need to do all this stuff? But, you know, people who love you always want to solve a problem. So they wanted Tyra to be happy. They wanted me to be at peace. Well, why don't you look here? I've got this friend, that friend. You know how that works, right?
Yes, yes.
But I digress. Oh, my gosh, I digress. But I hope that testimony kind of levels why this show was important to me, because so many of us right now cannot escape our homes. Some people have said, I'm a prisoner. And I don't feel like a prisoner. I open my door and go like, hey, how you doing in here? I'm so glad to be back. And so I guess what I'm saying is, if you're at a point where you're making a decision, step beyond the traditional. Give yourself a chance to explore why you're making your decisions, how you're making them, et cetera. And this is one space. You know, we started out, are you going to move, Tyra? It brought me all the way to, are you going to monetize your gifts? Are you going to work on that book? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Are you going to start your children's program? Now, what's that got to do with the house? I hope you all see what I'm saying. I hope you can feel me. Do you think they can feel us, Susan?
I think they can feel you, yes.
Okay. Why do I keep calling you Susan? It'd be nice if I got your name right, considering I talk to you a lot. My goodness.
That's okay.
My goodness. Okay, bottom line, I want to do one thing right now. If I have encouraged anyone to move forward and have this conversation, I know I have. Suzanne, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, well, the easiest way is through my website, which is soulshome.realtor. So www.soulshome.realtor.
All right. That's who she is. Tell me this. How do you describe the best experience you've had since you started this process of your soul's home? And then I want you to read your letter to your youngest self.
Oh, wow. The best experience. Well, I'll have to say working with you was a fabulous experience.
I'm not paying you. Go ahead and tell the truth.
Because, you know, it was interesting because when I got your report, it did show that you were living in your soul's home.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, for me, that's like, oh, okay, well then, what do we need to talk about? You're already at your soul's home. But, you know, which is why we were able to go to more than that. Like, okay, you're in your soul's home, but you called me for a reason.
Yes.
Right? And so what more is there than how can you see your home differently so that you really can take that next step in living your soul's purpose?
Yes.
It's so exciting to me when I'm in a deep, I call it a soul-to-soul conversation.
Yes.
And you see those aha moments that just change everything for that person. They're going in one direction, and then all of a sudden, boom, aha, and they turn around and they start going in another direction.
That's right.
I just love that.
And
yeah, I just love that.
And I have. That's what's so interesting. I've actually taken steps to monetize pieces of my website. I've reached out to people. I'm meeting people. And I said, sometimes it just takes a kick or a push or a shove or a word. And with Suzanne, she's gentle, so it was a word. And now, my lady, I need you to do something for me. Do you have your letter ready?
I do.
Would you share with us?
I will.
Okay. It's on
you. Okay. Dear young Suzanne, you have a good heart, and that is what matters most. You are smart, but there will always be smarter people. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart will use your smarts to bring smart people together to make the world a better place. You are beautiful, but there will always be more beautiful people. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart shines from deep within you, bringing out the beauty in others. You have enough money, but there will always be people with more money. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart will attract those with more money so they may open up their hearts. You have enough money, but there will always be people who don't have enough. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart will heal those who don't have enough so they may prosper. You are slow and others are fast. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart needs to go slow in order to get to where you're going the fastest. You see others suffering and feel powerless to help them. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart will show you how to transform their suffering into liberation. Your good heart provokes criticism from others. That makes you feel less than, but you are not. Your good heart will bring out their good heart or your forgiveness. Your good heart is here only to love. Love yourself, love others, love nature, love God. Your good heart is what matters most. Love your future self, Suzanne.
What a blessing. Thank you so much. Everyone, you know you've been listening to Radio Fairfax in Fairfax, Virginia. This moment of mindfulness has been brought to you as a blessing for when you may be making a new decision. Remember, there are all kinds of dynamics included. You know what? I need for you to remember until next time that you're worthy of giving and receiving. Believe you are new every moment. Your time, your energy, your mind, the people you come into that come into your life, they're gifts and they're infinite. Your seat at the table is guaranteed, and I look so forward to next time. Until then, remember, you are stronger than you feel, smarter than you think, more beautiful than you know, and more important and loved than you can ever imagine. You're chosen. Treat yourself like someone you love. I love you. Bye now.